to this church and the people around us. It feeds us more and more. Be room for you. And when you come and get us, we'll be ready. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. All right. We finished up on the seven churches last week. So we're taking a full scene change at this point. We're going from the previous three chapters where John discussed through these letters to the churches, things going on the earth, right? The issues with the churches, commending the churches that needed to be commended, and kind of being pointed to the churches that he needed to make a point to. And now we just have a total scene change. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4. Bible says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." So, yeah, I mean, we're changing totally at this point. John is giving us a picture of heaven. I mean, can you imagine to be able to, if you're sitting there, if you're standing around, all of a sudden you hear, "Come up hither"? Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is phenomenal stuff right here. Phenomenal. I love studying it. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as a trumpet." So first we see is the first thing he notices when he goes up to heaven is what? Door. And we've talked about these doors. Remember, we're leading up in the other chapters, we had doors open of opportunities of salvation. What do you say? We had doors opening to opportunities of trying to get into the church, went to the church we just studied. We had doors open of opportunities of ministry. But we see this door, and it says a door was opened. This door's standing wide open when John sees it. It wasn't closed and then opened. It's standing wide open. Now flip over to John 14:6. We're going to look at a couple of verses here in John real quick. John 14:6. John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So who's sitting at this door on the throne? Jesus. I mean, remember we got to the point, who were we told had the key to the door? Jesus. He's sitting right there. He's sitting right there, and that door is wide open. How do you get to the Father? Through that door. Manned by Christ, which is sitting wide open. From the point that Christ was crucified, and he said what? It is finished. The veil torn from top to bottom, giving access to everybody to the Holy of Holies. Since that moment, that door has been sitting wide open for anyone who accepts Him. Now flip just a few pages over to John 10:9. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Again, gives us the picture. He's sitting on the throne there. That door is open because of the price He paid and what He did. Doesn't say, well, you know, if Ken, if you're a pretty good person, I'll let you in. I have the key. I'll open the door for you. But other people don't get that opportunity. No, everybody has the opportunity to walk through that door. Everyone. They just have to do so by faith. And it says, was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Look over at Revelation 1, 10. You see some of the same wording that John uses here in 1:10 that he uses here in chapter 4. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So we get this picture that God's voice in heaven, I mean, is it a trumpet sound? No, I don't believe that's what he's saying. He said it's as of. If somebody was standing right here with a trumpet and just blew it as loud as they could, have you ever had that and you feel it almost in your insides? I mean, it just kind of shakes you, right? I mean, it gets your attention. You're going to look to see where that's coming from. I mean, that sound of a trumpet, my cousin used to play the trumpet in marching band, and man, he was always tooting on that thing. They're loud instruments. I was always against my kids playing the trumpet. Maybe the recorder, but not the trumpet. But, I mean, they're going to get your attention. And John's saying he's trying to paint this picture for us of I'm standing up here and I'm seeing the throne room of God. And Jesus speaks to him, and it's as of a trumpet sounding. It almost goes through you.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that. It penetrates. I mean, he's talking to him, and it just is moving John. And what's he say? He says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. All right, from this point prior, all of our studies have dealt with stuff that's happening in the past or currently here on earth. We're transitioning in chapter 4 here, chapter 4 through the rest of Revelation. We're talking about things which are going to happen hereafter. They're prophetic. They're eschatological is the word for it. They're all, we're talking about prophecy. We're talking about scenes and visions of what Jesus says is going to happen one day. And interestingly enough, what word are we not going to see from this point on? Anybody kind of studied Revelation? Church. There you go. We've studied for the first three chapters. We've seen the word church 19 times. Moving from this point on, we're only going to see it once, and it's at the very end of the book in kind of passing kind of verse at the very end. Why aren't we going to see the word church anymore?
It is not here, it's gone.
Yeah. He can't talk about the church if the church isn't here. Well, why isn't the church here? Well, we done been raptured, right? The church at this point has been raptured. So that rapture takes place sometime in Revelation 3, during those letters, in that time frame, at some point that rapture's taken place, and as a twinkling of an eye, right, everybody in the church has been raptured, been taken up to heaven to be with Jesus. And there was something else I was going to say about that, and what was it? What was it, Ken?
I don't know, but man, I'm just full of thoughts on this.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's interesting that the church won't be here. People may get saved during the tribulation, but they won't be a part of the church. And how fortunate are we to have the church and to be able to come fellowship?
So what is a church in just as a definition? It's a gathering of people. So there's going to be a group of people, the church, that are going to be taken up during the rapture. Now, as we sit here now, can you say that everybody who's a member of Central Baptist Church are going to be taken up?
No.
What did we study in the Church of Laodicea? That church was dead.
I heard one guy speculate there was maybe 4 or 5 people in the church saved. Because he tried to break down the definition of a few.
Yeah, I hope that's... I feel like, there's some guys that are cup half full, and there's some guys that are cup half empty, I guess, but...
But we have to be honest with ourselves when we reflect upon our own salvation.
So when the church is gone, when those who were true believers are gone, what's left?
No fellowship.
Is the church here? Is Central Baptist Church at that point present?
No.
Do you know from this point on, the remaining folks that are left behind, who are a part of what they would... Let's be honest, if half the church got raptured and there was another half still here and they showed up next Sunday,
yeah,
there's going to be people in this building the day after the Sunday after the rapture, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Who are they going to say and call themselves Central Baptist Church? Probably.
Probably some.
I think they probably would. They're going to be confused and blinded by things. Are they Central Baptist Church? No. Through the rest of Revelation, that remaining church is referred to as the Great Harlot. You're going to have all these churches that either, number one, they don't believe that there's only one way to salvation. They don't believe in that Jesus is God. They don't believe that you're saved by faith rather than works. They might believe that you get saved by baptism and not by faith. All these other doctrinal stances, they're all going to be left. And they're all going to be known as the Great Harlot, the Harlot Church. And it'll be a lot of them. It'll be a lot. It might be more. I mean, only 3 gone. I don't know, like Ken said. But it's really an interesting thought, if you will, to, you know, how are the ones that remain? You know, I think we want to say, we want to think that as soon as your spouse taken up, if you're not, you're going, woo, I think I missed that. I need to get right immediately.
Yeah.
But are you?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Wouldn't they be doing it for the wrong reason?
What? Yeah. If they go to Scripture and they just do it, you know, by faith and all that, it's still right. But
you're still here for the rapture.
But you're here through the through, for the party afterwards. Not, it's not a party, but you're here through the for the go.
You're here till they behead you.
They can try to be a church, but because of the Antichrist and the persecution,
and the Holy Spirit
removed.
Is removed at this point. There, so you're. It should, it's going to be difficult, and I think they're going to come up with all kinds of reasons. I think there's going to be all kinds. Well, the aliens came and took people. Do you see the news on these UFOs things and how it's really picked up over the last couple of years? I mean, almost to the government level, to where they're almost ready to confirm that there is aliens and all this. They'll have. Who's building these mechanisms for excuses?
The church wouldn't function either, though, because the Holy Spirit's not there.
That's it. People can be pretty. Can come up with some crazy devices, that's for sure. You know, the COVID, it's the Chinese. They're working all kinds of crazy stuff over there. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of reasons why. The rapture occurred, and, well, I'm still here. It can't be that I just wasn't right with God. Those Chinese folks. They only took redheads or something. I don't know. You know, so it's just, there's going to be all kinds of things come up. But we're going to see, we're not talking about the church at this point. From this point on, we're going to be talking about the nation, the nations, and primarily the nation of Israel.
It's like a different chapter is opened up, a different dispensation.
Yeah. Israel rejected Jesus when he was here the first time. For the most part, they still do. And this is a set in motion, as well as the Gentile nation. I mean, there's people that reject him all over. For him to say, no, no, there's going to be judgment for that. And in the end, every knee is going to bow. And if you continue to reject me, then there's going to be a place for you as well. But in the end, and we understand this, because we've read through Revelations before, Christ wins. So this is a study of, this isn't a mystery. This isn't kind of a whodunit and how's it going to end kind of thing. This isn't one of those cliffhangers that we're just wondering about. Now, we know in the end Christ wins. But let's see that process that he's laid out for it. He's going to show John the things that will come hereafter. And John says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold a throne. John just says, immediately I was standing there. He says, come up hither. Immediately I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the throne of heaven through this door. And John's going to try and give us some descriptions of what he is seeing. And we've kind of talked about this before in different classes, you know. How far do we take these descriptions? I read some interesting commentaries over the last week of what all this means or could mean. But we'll get into that here in a second. He says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Kind of went into this last week a little bit, didn't we? There, Jesus sits on the throne. He is there. Everything that occurs on this earth, everything that occurs, he's in control of. Everything he is in control of. And there he sits on that throne. In verse 3, John says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. What's all that mean? I have no idea. And there's a lot of folks that write a lot of words trying to say, well, you have this judgment that's coming, right? I buy that. And we have this rainbow there, which is a reminder that even though there's judgment coming, he's already told us it's not going to come by flood. Okay. And there's an emerald, which is green, which represents the earth. Maybe. I don't know. But it's a pretty good story. And then all these sardine stones and jasper stones. I think all it means is he looked upon Jesus and God, and it just, there's these colors and this brilliance and this light that just, you just are like, it's beautiful. I just can't, I can't describe it. I think that's what it means. And I think it just, I don't get into all the rainbow thing. Maybe that's true. I mean, that makes sense, but I don't know. I just think it's a lot of light and the brilliance of it. I mean, have you ever just looked at something so magnificent and you just have a hard time describing what you're seeing?
So what happens when light reflects? It breaks into its different bands and it does the rainbow effect.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not trying to say I know what this is, but when I see the rainbow there, I just think it's the shining of Christ reflecting on things.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, the aura, he's a light. He says he's the light, doesn't he? And you have heaven, which we'll get into this. We'll look at verse 6. We'll get just a little bit ahead of ourselves. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, I won't get that far. But just look at the sea of glass. I mean, you have the floor is just glass, crystal, and you have God there just emitting this light. And it just reflecting off every... I mean, it just... I don't know. But I like John, I think John's just like... You immediately see a color, so it reminds him of this, maybe a gem. When you take a gem, how do you look at it for beauty? You kind of move it around in the light, so to speak, to look at the reflection of it. And if you go to a jeweler's shop, what do they do with diamonds? There's always lights in the cabinets to try and reflect the beauty off of them. If you look at it just in your palm, okay, it's clear stone. So to me, that's kind of, maybe, did you have a thought?
Well, I was just thinking, the kids in school, they were saying about like the precious stones. So you see all the, he's seeing these different, the jasper and stuff, and you're just thinking it's so precious.
That too, yeah. Jewels are always a precious thing.
But you think that light, like you said, a rainbow or something like that, it always comes from another light, right? So that light up there starts at that one spot and goes out.
Yeah, we're seeing what he's emitting.
Everything up there, light-wise, is coming
from him.
Right.
Yep. Oh, that's good.
So, because there's nothing above him coming down, there's nothing below him coming down. It's him going.
Him. Present. Yeah. Oh, that's good. And I can just. I mean, you can imagine it, but you can't imagine it.
Yep.
Just seeing that light. I mean, it's clear enough that he can see this door. And he sees the throne, and he's going to continue in verse 4. He sees these 24 elders sitting around the throne, but the light itself emitting from the throne and God there, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you see all three of them kind of pictured there, and just that light, that brilliant light. They got into a bunch of stuff about, well, the jasper stone was representative of the tribe, I think, of Benjamin. And then you have the sardine stone, which was representative, I think, of maybe Judah or something. I can't remember. And it meant this and this. That seems a stretch to me. I don't know. We may get to heaven and learn that all of this, there's a meaning to all of it, and it probably has nothing to do with anything we've talked about.
I find it interesting that it says that this, there was set in heaven a throne, or a throne was set. So it's almost like it's unfolding in front of his eyes.
Hmm.
You know, it's not like there was. a throne. It's like a throne was set. It's like it's all developing, which I don't know. It has any, it's, but it's.
Yeah,
it's. You know, when you read through it.
It isn't that it is going to be.
Yeah.
It's not like Jesus is revealing the building committee's plans. It's actually happening.
God, it's.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like it's actually like a throne was set. And then
was set down in front of him.
Yeah, it's like a developing. It's like a scene developing.
Well, I think, and that's an excellent picture too.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. And I think of the northern lights when I think about.
Yes, that's a good image. I think that's a good description. You know how they just kind of reflect, and yeah, I've never seen them. I've seen pictures, and it's just. Yeah, I think that's a good descriptor, maybe. And even that's probably pales in, definitely pales in comparison.
I don't think it's really hidden.
Only four verses describing it. I could give you a whole book, but you couldn't comprehend.
Couldn't, yeah. I mean, it just you're not going to comprehend this. But you're getting a picture inside of heaven of the throne room where Christ sits today. Remember, this is a place. Today, that's what it looks like. Can I give you goosebumps a little bit? I mean, it does me. I'm just like, you know, we sometimes read this and you got to put it into actual perspective of what they're telling us. This is a place where Jesus is set right now on that throne. And if you were to visualize it, I mean, there's just all of this. And just like John is trying to describe it, you know, we can talk about it, and it's hard to even do it. No. No. Just fascinating. Fascinating. And then verse 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Who are these folks, you think? Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like these colors, man. I've read all kinds of stuff on these 24 elders. You know, who are they? Well, are they the representative of the 12 tribes of the Old Testament and then the 12 apostles? Oh, that's pretty good. Maybe. Didn't Jesus tell them that they would sit at the right hand of the throne? Maybe. Does he not say to some others like us, you will sit at the right hand of the throne? Yeah. Are these representative, which I tend to go this route, are they representative of the church just in general, seated around him? They're wearing these crowns. What are these crowns? Remember, we're told that you can earn these crowns through faithful service and other means. So could they be representatives of the church? They're wearing white. Well, we as the bride of Christ would be wearing white. So could they be that? I tend to lean that direction, but I got nothing to solidly, can't say that, point to as to why.
Let's set a number.
You like the first one? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense too. I think that's. Why do you say 24? Why not 25? And if it's the church, why is it limited? Do what?
Millions.
Yeah, I mean, maybe John's only seeing 24, and there's another table behind it that he can't see.
And it's not necessarily a fixed person in that seat. It could be rotating turns at the seat.
There's no telling. Maybe we all get a turn. Sometime. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, he says we shall sit at the right hand. Maybe we all get turns. We're going to help rule with Christ in heaven. So maybe, I don't know, but it's interesting. I think what it does entail is he sits alone on the throne, but somebody and others are going to serve with him. We're going to serve with him. And then verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. So it's Oklahoma. If you hear lightning and thundering, what's coming? Storm's coming, right? Earthquake. Something's coming, right? Some type of potential, some that could cause devastation. A storm's coming of some type. And I think that's what's pictured here. We see lightning and thundering, and as we continue into verse 5 and 6, we're going to get into the opening of these seven seals and the judgments that start to get poured out upon the earth and the harlot church that remains in Israel. And those, really everybody goes through it, but it's, you know, it's meant to purify, right? Any sort of judgment is meant to purify. So I think that lightning and thunder is the preceding storm that's getting ready to come upon. Most of the readings that I read kind of pointed in that direction. I don't think that's a real big stretch.
God putting out the command.
Could be. Very much could be. So, and then of course we see there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. And then, you know, he tells us exactly what that is, which are the seven spirits of God. I mean, we got here, right here in these first five verses, just an indescribable picture into what heaven and the throne room visually, how it visually appeared before John. And the fact that God gave John that opportunity and said, write that down. Write this down. Write down, what do you say in chapter 1? Write down what you see. And we get this picture. I mean, it's just fascinating. Fascinating material. I encourage you, you know, study into that maybe a little bit. We're going to get into some things that are going to get, we're going to get some pictures of what heaven's like, what some angels are like in heaven. It may not be what you think. They don't sit on fluffy clouds, right? They don't play harps. They don't have necessarily halos around their head. We're going to see some pictures of some angels. And even next week, we'll look at the four beasts full of eyes. Yeah, the all-seeing four beasts, right? And then we'll get into, we'll start seeing these seal judgments opened and the presentation of these seven seals. Which is going to be a phenomenal study as well. Okay. Ken, you want to release us in prayer? We'll go down to services.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for loving us enough to try to show us what you have waiting for us. It's a little confusing for us sometimes, but what a thrill it is that we can come together as a group and study together and learn about you. This is just some beautiful stuff, and I'm so thankful for this opportunity. Lord, now as we leave here and go to the sanctuary, we ask your blessing upon this time of worship. Lord, may we open our hearts and our minds to your presence and your word, and may we apply the teaching to our lives and bless and be with the pastor. He's worked hard all week preparing for today, but give him the strength to give us the message that you have for us today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.